scared I am. It is a great challenge for me to share in English. It would be even a greater challenge for you to listen to me because it's difficult, I can tell you. Let's seek our Lord's help in prayer first. Dear Lord, we commit this time into your hand. We pray that it is you who are speaking to us, and open our hearts and open our ears so we can respond to your words. We pray that the Holy Spirit can do mighty work in our lives. We pray that it is the Spirit that is leading us today. We commit this time into your hand, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we turn to Matthew chapter 11, the book of Matthew. Have you got Bible? We have got some copy there. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We play the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Think about this verse. We play the flute for you, and you did not dance. It should be something happy, and there seems to be no response. We sang a dirge. A dirge is a funeral song, very sad. And yet, you did not mourn. So what did Jesus tell us about this generation? Or maybe nowadays, people's reactions to God's word or God's promises, no response. Remember at Matthew's time, Jesus was preaching the kingdom. Behold, the kingdom of God is near. Repent. This is a good news because the coming of the kingdom, it is good. And yet, people not rejoicing. Repent. You have something wrong in our life. You should change your life. And people have no response. So when describing this situation, I can think of a word. Indifferent. Are you having an indifferent attitude towards God today? That means regarding to God's promises, what is your response? I don't care. I couldn't care less. Would that be your response to God's matter? God's promises? I don't care. So let us look at a person who doesn't seem to care and what is God's dealing with him. Let's look at Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, of course. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. We read from verse 24 to 34. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, and his hand grasping Esau's heel. Notice the word grasping. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old, and Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob, the younger boy, was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, Isaac is the father, loved Esau, but Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. So the father loves the older boy, who is a hunter. The mother loves the younger boy, who stays with her in the tent. Verse 29. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, the young boy likes cooking, Esau came from the open field, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished." That is why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." Now notice this younger brother, he's asking for something. sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die. Esau said, what good is the birthright to me? Now, this is his response. Birthright means nothing to him. Once he's hungry, he forgets everything. But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. Notice this special phrase. So Esau despised his birthright. So the older boy, he has the birthright. Birthright is God-given. A lot of blessing comes with the birthright. But he despised the birthright, sell it just for a bowl of stew. So that means he couldn't care less. He doesn't care about blessing from God. What he cares is about how he feels. Is it like you today? If you say, do you care about spiritual things? Do you really believe this book contains all the promises, all the blessing of God? And I wonder how long this book lies in your bookshelves for a long time without being opened. Do you really care about the blessing of God? For Esau, he doesn't seem to care. And notice, he seems to be a victim here. And when we look at the last book of the Old Testament, can we turn to the book of Malachi? We may think, what does God feel about this person? If we look at the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Actually, yeah, 2 to 5, okay? Chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau, Jacob's brother, the Lord says. Yet I have loved Jacob. Notice here, but Esau I have hated. So in here, the Lord says, I hated the older brother. And I have turned his mountains into wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom, which means the descendants of Esau, they may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. They are not afraid of the Lord. They don't care. Okay, Lord, if you turn my inheritance into desert, we will rebuild it. If you crushed what I have, I will rebuild it. I'm not afraid of you. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. So you can see the anger of God towards this person, Esau. If we study Esau, he didn't lie, he didn't steal, he didn't rob, he didn't rape anyone, he didn't murder. He seems to be a man of good character. And yet God says, I hate him. He built anything I will demolish. And this is the person that shows no response to God. So what is your response to God? Think about it. If you say, I'm a Christian, oh, the Bible is the promise of God. And yet, your actions will tell what you believe. How often you treasure the spiritual blessing of God? Do you read your Bible? If you don't read your Bible, it is hard to convince me, even though you may be baptized. But it is hard to convince me you are treasuring God's promises. You are indifferent to God's promises. You don't care about God's promise to you. You don't. This is a treasure, just like a treasure chest, hidden, locked in your room. Do you care? What is your response to him? And can we look at another response to God? When we think of Jacob, he's a grabber, isn't it? When we look at him, when he come out from the mother's room, came out from the mother's room, he was holding his brother's heel coming up. So this is exactly what he's doing all his life. He's a grabber. Whenever there's blessing, he grabs it. Whenever there's good thing, he grabs it. He's someone that's a desire. He wants. And towards God, he wants God's promises as well. He wants God's blessing as well. That's why he cheated his father to get the blessing. So he is a grabber. And let us look at in Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32, from verse 22 onward. Genesis chapter 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for this is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Now this is his reaction. "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The name means you're grabbing, holding on something. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel." Israel means he struggles with God, or the Prince of God. "Because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." So this is Jacob comparing Esau and Jacob. Esau seems to be a better person when you look at him morally. But the main thing is he doesn't care at all. He doesn't care about spiritual things. What he wants is today. My need. My joy. I'm having fun. Maybe you are sitting here, but in your mind you're planning, where am I going afterwards, after the meeting? I can have more fun. Do you care about spiritual things? What happens if, Saturday night Bible study? There's a party. Then you have to choose. Remember Esau? He exchanged his birthright with a bowl of stew. So what he's telling God is, a bowl of stew is more important than what you have given me. Be careful with what you choose. It tells something. If you choose, "I'm going to a party," it's nothing wrong to going to a party. But "I'm going to a party instead of going to Bible study," then that tells God something. That means in your mind, something is more valuable. Something, having fun, having joy, partying, is more important than something God has prepared for you. What is your response to an almighty God? Your action. So often we come to the meeting, we listen to the sermon, lots of good sermon, lots of good preaching, lots of very good idea. But today I'm telling you, after hearing all this, after being through all these years in a church meeting, who are you? What is your response to God? Do you care about spiritual blessing? Do you really care about God's promises? Do you care? Jacob is different. He wants it. He wants it really bad. Up to a point, he even lies, he even cheats in order to get the blessing from God. He means real. And in here, even when he comes into contact with God, he's grabbing, wrestling. I think he's just like an octopus. All the hands moving, grabbing, holding. He won't let God go. Do you come to the meeting like this with an open heart? Lord, my ears are open. My arms are ready. I'm ready. Whatever you are going to tell me, I won't let it go. Whatever you are telling me, I will put it in my heart. Do you come or just like that? Do you have a desire? Or do you just follow your parents to come? To sit for an hour and then you go. Next week, doing the same thing. Is it you? Am I talking about you? Only you know. I can't read your mind. I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. And your reactions. Even during the meeting. Sometimes I can see the eyes wandering, minds. I can see some people daydreaming. I may be wrong. Forgive me. You may be meditating. Okay. I don't know. But where is your heart? You come here. Do you really want to know God? Or do you just like Jacob? He's like a sponge, absorbing everything from God, all the blessing. He wants it, he means it. God like him. He has responded to God's promise. He has responded. He wants it, he cares. His action tells us that, oh, God is important. His blessing is really important. It's precious. It matters a lot in my life. I want God's blessing in my life. Now, this is somebody God is going to bless. God, do something in my life. Do something in me. Do you have such desire when you come before the Lord? Remember in Mark, we don't bother to go to that passage. James and John, they come before the Lord. They know, because the Lord told them, the Lord is going to be crucified and blah, blah, blah. And what they respond is, oh, Lord, we want to, when you come in glory, they just attracted to the word glory. They don't attract it to the Lord, or the suffering or the pain. They are not attracted to that, to these words. Just like we sitting here, sometimes when we listen, we are responding to certain words, boom, boom, oh, suddenly you wake up. But most of the time, we are not listening sometimes. Then the James and John come to Jesus and say, Lord, we want to sit next to you when you come in glory. Now, they want something for themselves as well. They want glory. They are responding, yet they are responding to God. To Jesus' words. Jesus didn't rebuke them. Jesus is going to correct them. But Jesus didn't get angry with them. So if you are somebody who means business, who are serious with God, even though you may not have a pure motivation, but yet God can still work in you. Just now we talked a lot about Jacob. He's a grabber. When he went to see his uncle, he's grabbing all the material blessing from his uncle. God is helping him, actually. So he get a lot. And then that night, when he was wrestling with God, just now we read the passage, he was wrestling with God, and he said to God, I won't let you go until you bless me. All his life, he was trying to grabbing everything. Until, I think it's interesting. I think that night, God, can you imagine man wrestling with God? God can, and then you're done. You finish. Wrestling? No way. But sometimes, you know, when I remember when I played with some kids, when a long time ago, maybe my girls, I can't remember. Okay, come and catch me. I'm running. Oh, you're fast, you're fast. Purposely, I went slower to let her or him catch me. When he catch me, the boy, I catch you. Yes, I want you to catch me, actually. So I was running slow and let you catch me. I feel happy. There seems to be a connection, isn't it? So I think it's similar. God is actually waiting, longing for Jacob. Catch me. I am the one you need. I'm going. I won't come back. But he leave his hand at the back. Catch me if you can. So God is like that wrestling. God can finish him in just 1 second. Actually, just now we read God can touch his hip in verse 25. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and so his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And he walked limp afterwards. So actually, Jacob was no match for God, but God's presence there was give him a chance to grab him. And then, what is the real blessing for Jacob? If you really mean business with God, God is going to bless you. Do you know what kind of blessing he's giving you? As we moved on, if you study the book of Genesis, you can see the life of Jacob. In the beginning, since his birth, he's a grabber. Grab, hold. That's why Jews are so rich, isn't it? They can grab your riches. Only the Chinese are also good at doing business. But the Jews are even better. They're the best because of their ancestor, grabber. When he comes out, he is already grabbing. His hand is so powerful. And yes, after he grabbed your business, your blessing, he can run fast. And he will go away. So you have no chance to catch him back. But in here, God, touch his leg, so he can't run at all. But when we look at his life, at the end, or almost at the end of his life, you know what God? What is the real blessing? Real blessing is not giving you more. For Jacob, I feel that God is starting to taking away things from him. Taking his wife, his beloved wife, four wives, the best one he loves, God is taking her away. And then taking Joseph away. And then started taking Benjamin away. One by one, God is taking all the things that he's holding in his life. Yes, I want God, but my wife, my son, my properties, all mine. When God is going to bless him by changing him from Jacob, a grabber, to Israel. And you can notice the difference is he starts to lose. Then he realized, I can't hold on anything by myself. If God wants it, he can take it. And when it comes to Benjamin, he knows that he has to let go. His hand, always like this, and now starting to release and let go. You know, when he came to see Pharaoh, he blessed Pharaoh. I can imagine his hands opens like that. And at the last, almost the last two chapters, when he was blessing his children, I can imagine his hands opens again. Blessing his grandsons, his hand opens again. So this man, who is a grabber all his life, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. All the spiritual blessing, me. It's all about me. I want glory, I want power, I want fame. And God is doing something in his life. He starts to lose. Involuntarily, he didn't want it. But at the end, he gives it up, let it go. And at the end, he voluntarily blesses others. He passes blessing on to others. So it's a really beautiful picture. God changed a grabber into someone who gives, a taker, bless you, change you into someone who gives. Let me ask you, who is a richer person, A one who gained a million, or someone who gives a million to others? Who is richer? What do you think?
The one that gives away.
That means you have more than a million so that you can give away. So, the real blessing will come, you know, so often, because we are having so much, I call it rubbish sometimes, in our hand, God can't give you the real blessing. So in order to create some space in your life, God has to take away something in order to bless you with more spiritual blessing. Once I read a little story like this. Do you know in the jungle, in the Amazon basin, something like that? You can't really build an airfield. So in order to build an airfield, you have to cut down a lot of trees. So by cutting all these trees, you can open a space and the plane can come down on the airfield. Someone shared this like this. The grace of God can only come down in our lives until He opened a lot of spaces in our lives. Otherwise, blessing cannot come into your life. So do you understand why God takes away so many things from you? Or maybe not yet, but He will. He will start to take away something that hinders you. And then one day, He will give Himself to you. So this is the second response. The second response pleases God because your action that you want God's blessing means that you care. You think God is significant. You think He is precious in your life. Yet, this seems to be a positive response, but that is not the best response I can think of. Let's look at the third response that we can do. The first response is indifferent. You don't care. The second response is, I want it really bad. But you may want it for different, not very pure motivation, not from a very pure heart. But still, if you want it, God will bless you. Much more better than an indifferent person. Now, still, I want to share the third response. Can we come to John? Gospel of John, chapter 12. The third person I'm going to talk about is Mary of Bethany. John chapter 12, verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, I like this word. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Not many times in the Bible recorded tell you about the smell at that time. So this is one very special occasion. Can you think of any other special occasion? Now, I leave you to do some Bible search, okay? One is in Genesis. Okay. Continue, verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Okay, so in here, we see Mary. Mary knows that Jesus is going through some very special time. Maybe because she always listened carefully as Jesus preached. So she was a really good listener. But don't think she just listened. She's going to respond one day at the right time, in the right way. So at this time, she took the golden opportunity. She saved, in verse 3, took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. At those times, I think the ladies will save expensive perfume, bit by bit. For one day, maybe for her marriage, for really special occasions. But one day in her heart, she has decided, the Lord is not going to be with me much longer. What can I do to tell him that I like him? I love him. What can I do? Then, even though she's a lady, there are many men around, many eyes looking, under such pressure, she was doing something really remarkable. She broke the jar and anointed Jesus with the perfume. Was she asking for blessing? No. She just wanted to express, she was just trying to have this action to tell the Lord, Lord, you mean a lot to me. You are everything to me. I'm not just giving you, her action is, I'm not just giving you a vase, some nard. I'm telling you how much you mean to me in my life. I'm pouring out not the perfume, actually. The Lord understands her. She is pouring out herself, the whole person, offer before the Lord. So this kind of response is what I'm talking about. First kind of response is indifferent. I don't care. Second kind of response is, I care. I want your blessing. But in here, Mary was not asking for anything at all. Instead of giving me, more, give me. Mary was thinking, what can I give to you, my Lord? What can I offer to you to tell you that how I think of you? You are most precious. Your loving kindness, your strength, your wisdom, all this attracted my heart towards you. You mean everything to me, and I want to express my love to you. And in book of Matthew, can we look at Matthew chapter 26? It speaks of the same incident. Chapter 26. Can we just pick a few words to look? Chapter 26, verse 10. Actually, from verse 6 to verse 13 refers to the same incident. But look at verse 10. I want you to look at that word, special word. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. A beautiful thing. Jesus doesn't use a careless word, use words carelessly. To him, he noticed, he understands what Mary has done is a beautiful thing. When I start to meditate around on this passage, I think this is a beautiful love picture. Because God has His precious Son. Mary has precious ointment. Because of God's love towards men, He gave His Son to us, nailed on the cross, just like Mary, broken the vase. Because of Jesus nailing on the cross, He shed His blood, He gave His life. The life can pour out towards whoever believes in Him. Mary, broken the vase, the fragrance of the perfume will come out, fill up the whole room. So it's God's gift, Mary's gift. Come together, the most beautiful picture. It's love meeting love. You know, sometimes we watch some movie, maybe at dawn at the beach, a boy running towards the girl, open arms. And what would be a beautiful picture? It's the girl opening arms, going towards the boy, isn't it? So love meets love. How beautiful it is. How romantic. Beautiful love picture, isn't it? But imagine, a boy would run towards the girl, a girl, whoop, and run the other way. Oh my goodness. Is that a beautiful picture? Not at all. So, in here, Jesus, filled with love, and He understands love. He knows your heart, but what attracted Him is the love in you that attracted Him. Love meets love. How beautiful that is. So, in verse 13 it says, I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told. What she has done will also be told. So Jesus really treasured this response. Really made Jesus, forgive me to say, jumping for joy maybe. Because God loves us and there seems to be someone responding, not asking for blessing, not asking for make me powerful, make me glory, give me glory. Give me. No, Mary's, I'm not asking for anything. I want to give you something. So this is the best response. Love God. When you come to the meeting, I hope you are not indifferent. When you come to the meeting, yes, we want God's blessing and speaking to us and change us into His likeness. But more than that, seeing all God, what God has done for us, what is your response? So, the title for my message to you would be, what is your response to God? What is your response to God's love? What is your response to God's mercy? What is your response to God's words, to God's message, to God's salvation in your life? What is your response? To me, sharing with you is difficult. And when I pray before the Lord, Mary's heart touched my heart as well. So I was praying to God, Lord, I'm not just giving a message, telling something from your heart, but I'm also pouring out what I have to you. This may be my first sharing. This may be my last sharing. I don't care. But I want to tell God, you mean something to me. I'm doing it for you. But I pray that it's not just for me. Later on, we are going to have breaking of bread, the meeting. I hope that there will be many Mary among us. opening your hearts, pouring out yourselves before the Lord, telling Him He means a lot to you. He's grateful. We should be grateful to Him. He's gracious to us. You may say, oh, I'm the youngest. I just baptized last time. There are many senior before me. They baptized before me. They are not praying. They are not praying. Why should I offer my praise? You are not doing it for others. You are pouring the ointment before the Lord today. You can do it today. You can do something beautiful today. Something that touched the heart of the Lord. Pouring out yourselves. Telling the Lord, I'm not indifferent to your grace. I praise you because I'm grateful for what you have done. I love you. I want to offer my personal thank before you. You know, when you go to birthday party, everybody saying, happy birthday to you. So if there are 40 people, I suppose everybody will sing happy birthday. But if there are just one or two people singing happy birthday, I will think, how about the other people? Do they really care about me? So during the breaking of bread, if the Holy Spirit really touch your heart, you are not just praying. You are not just saying something to please someone, but you are coming before the Lord. Give Him a personal thank you. Praise Him, telling Him, Lord, you mean a lot to me. You pray not because you can have a beautiful, you can make a beautiful prayer. You pray because simply, you come before the Lord and say, Lord, you are worthy of my praise. It's not about me. I don't care what people think about me. It's all about you. And I want to tell you, you are worthy of me. You are worthy for me to pour out myself before you. Would that be too difficult for you? I know it's difficult if you have never prayed openly before. And yet, this is why it makes it so precious. God knows your struggle. God knows your fear. And because of all this behind, that makes your prayer even more valuable in God's sight. So I really hope there are some beautiful love poured out towards our Lord today. I know there will be struggling. I know you may care about what other people look at you. But does it matter? If it pleases the Lord. So, in summary to my sharing, what is your response to God? Indifferent? Yeah, I come. I don't care. I couldn't care less. Someone prayed, oh, when would the meeting finish? Keep looking at your watch. Are you indifferent to God? Or do you really want, I want blessing. I want blessing. Me. Change me. Or even better, Lord, I come not to tick. I need your grace, but the purpose is I want to tell you, I want to follow you. I want to love you. You are most precious to me. What would be your response to God? Everyone may be different. You have to make your own choice. You can do something beautiful today in your life that pleases God. Don't do it because I urge you. Do it because
the Holy Spirit guides you. Don't quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, all just focus on our Lord Jesus. He deserves our love, our praise. That would make things very simple. Because of love, everything would be simple. And cast away all fear. Let's turn to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray your Holy Spirit can do mighty work in our lives, so that we won't be indifferent to spiritual matters. We pray that we'll treasure spiritual things, but even more, we pray that when we pursue you, it's all out of love, because you are worthy. We pray that you touch every heart, every ear that listens. May you receive the outpouring of ourselves, the pouring out of our love towards you. May you be exalted in our life. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' name, Amen.